it's going to be different this year. Margie, usually Thanksgiving is the time where all our family comes from everywhere. New York, Chicago, San Diego, Alabama, Arkansas. You know, they all come and they invade our house. And this year, nobody's coming. And so I'm thankful. No, it's it's family time, but you know, it's kind of different this year. And Zooming, like, okay, where's the corn casserole? Okay, there it is. You know, that it's just not the same. So we do have a lot to be thankful for. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we're talking a little bit about blessed are. Blessed are, and today we're going to talk about blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What about your homes? What about your families? Is there purity in your homes? Would you say, you know, for the most part, or not? Okay, good. I'm glad. So, you know, let's just take up an offering and go, because everybody's perfect, right? No. Sometimes there's an enemy, and sometimes that enemy will rob you of certain things. For example, you're going down the road and the enemy puts someone that cuts you off, right? Are you pure in heart in that moment? No. There are, you know, things that you may think, things that you may say. You may have to hold your tongue. But there are some things that we have to do. We have to protect our hearts, the purity of our hearts. The word there is cardia, and we get the word cardiac. And so from the Greek word there, it's more than just protecting the vital organ inside of us. It's talking about our emotions. It's talking about our feelings. It's talking about our words. It's talking about the inner self. To be changed from the inside out. Not looking one way and living another, but to be pure, to be holy, to follow our heart. But, write this down, without Christ, it is impossible to have a pure heart. Without Jesus Christ, it is impossible. There is no such thing as a pure heart. It's amazing to me when people try to take religion out of everything. You know, it's just a myth. I don't want to hear about it. You know, you know, it's just a way to hold you back. You know, it's like, okay, then what keeps you from just going out and doing whatever you want? What stops you from going out and say, like, punching a store clerk, taking money out of the cash register, and walking off? We know something is not right about that situation. Well, where did this moral compass come from? It didn't come from us. Because if we think about our lives, we try to get ahead. We try to, we lie, cheat, steal to get ahead, to move forward. It's about us. For example, if you come to my house and I have Nutter Butters and there's one left in the pack, you ain't getting it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I love you with the love of the Lord, but you ain't getting my Nutter Butter. If I have two, I'll break one and you can have half of one. But the idea is, it's about me. And that's the way we all are. We are selfish. We are self-centered. And if we say that we're not, we're lying. Hope you feel better now about yourself, right? No, the idea is the heart has got to change from the inside out. Jeremiah says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I examine the mind." In other words, God looks at the inner self, the inner feeling. What, you know, I'm doing great works. I'm doing all this stuff for you, God. But he knows that, wait a minute, what are your motives? Are you doing this to try to earn favor? Are you doing this to try to win points? What is the motive of your heart? What is the motive of your heart? In Ephesians, Paul put it this way: they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And then we go back to Jesus' words. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, guys, we are not supposed to live differently than what we say. We're a total package. We're a total package. For example, when was the last time you were watching a movie or a show or something, and it just the language was so bad that you finally just got up and walked out? Or you just left? Or have we become so accustomed to what's going on in our society that it doesn't bother us anymore? It's a shame. When we go into a movie theater and it's dark in there, you know, at first when you go in there and you're kind of walking like this, and excuse me, do y'all ever do that? Just chasing the rabbit here. Do y'all walk this way or do y'all walk this way? Because either way, I'm either, something ain't right. But it's dark, okay? But what happens when we're in the darkness? Our eyes start to adjust to the darkness, doesn't it? And that's what happens with sin. It, when you first see it, you're like, oh, that's awful. That's awful. But then our eyes start to adjust to the darkness. And when it adjusts to the darkness, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, hey, we can do this. We can hide. We can, you know, and no one's even going to know. But I want to tell you, it's almost like swimming in a swimming pool filled with acid. You know, it looks like water, you know, but it's not. It's like you've given formula to your baby and there's rat poison in there or something. Why? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that, but yet sin is doing the same thing to us. It's eating us up from the inside out. And that's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Listen, guys, we are not just Christ followers. We are not just Christ followers. We are Christ-centered followers. In other words, Jesus should be about everything that we do. In Howard's prayer, it's like we pray for these healings not so that, you'll feel better, but it's to the glory of God. God can heal. God can bless. God can do all of these things, and it's to his glory. We want to make it more about us. Psalm 119 says this: how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. In other words, how do I know what's right? How do I know what's wrong? It's right here in black and white. And the more we become Christ-like, the more we allow him to make us pure, like the song, Give Us Pure Hearts, that we sang, the chorus that we sang this morning. God, open our eyes, open our hearts, change us. And I took this verse from Psalm 119, and I kind of changed it a little bit to make it more about the church. How can our church stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We will seek you with all of our hearts, and do not let us stray from your commands. That should be our mantra of the church. Father, make us pure, make us holy, make us more like Jesus. We live in a culture, in a time where I can do whatever I want. You ain't the boss of me. You ever heard that? Heard it from my kids. That's why they're not here today. I done buried them somewhere. No. You can't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. You can't, and we're responsible for our actions. You think about Paul, who persecuted the church, right? He went around persecuting the church, had this eye-opening, literally, experience on the road to Damascus. And from that, he began to, you know, he had this real encounter with Jesus. He starts preaching, he starts going around, but he still had to pay the price of his before life. People were, wait, aren't you the same Paul that was persecuting? Aren't you the same Paul that was, you know, really trying to snuff us out here? It's like, yes, I am. And I was the chief among sinners. But, you know, my life has changed. And that's what we do. We give ourselves over. We take off the old rags. We take off the old wineskins, and we become a new creation. And in that new creation, you can't build it on a foundation of sin. You can't build it on selfishness. You can't build it on self-righteousness. You have to build it on the love of Jesus Christ. So how do we create this culture in our church of purity? Well, the first thing is we have to get our own heart right. We do that heart checkup. Proverbs 4 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Guard your heart. This came to me in a vivid way when Lena was little. And I think she had just turned 8 or something like that. But, you know, she still had, looked like a little girl and stuff. And we went somewhere and the kid price was 6 and under. And so, you know, in my fleshly pre-pastoral days, I said, "Oh, one adult and she's 6. And Lena goes, "Dad, I'm not 6, I'm 8. And of course the guy looks at me and I said, I thought she was 6, you know. And the guy just laughed. But it's like, Lena, come on. My child would not let me get away with a lie. And it was like, you know what? We need to check our own heart. The idea of, you know, our conscience being our guide, you know, reading someone, you know, those movies that come out, 50 Shades of Different Colors or whatever, I don't know. But the idea is, don't read the book. People, oh, I got to see what this book, oh, this is nasty. Ooh, you know, it's like, stop. Stop. Don't do that. Check your own heart. This is the book we should be reading. I was so impressed. Sandra and I went out to lunch the other day. After we had done some work here, we went to 15th Street Pizza, and Sue Turpin was there. And y'all know Sue. And she was sitting at a table with these women, and I went over there and I just started, hey, you know, just dancing, acting crazy. And, you know, she gets up, hugs me, and the other ladies, oh, okay. And they have this book that there's a book club, but it was by John MacArthur, theologian, and it's a study of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And they go, do you know John MacArthur? And they're showing me the book. I said, yeah, you know, it's probably a good thing. And Sue looks at me and said, you know what I told them, Paul? I told them, why read John MacArthur's Joshua, Judges, and Ruth? Why don't you just go to the source and read it? And I went, Sue Turpin, that is awesome. You know, we read so many books about something, and then we think we know everything. No, get into the real word. Check your heart. The second thing, react to the heart. React to a person's heart. Because what happens is oftentimes we react to the actions. Okay, another case in point. I went deer hunting for the first time in my life. Actually, it was just time alone in a stand. And I got to, you know, do some Bible study. And I mean, a deer could have walked up on me, probably did, never saw anything, which is cool. But, you know, I'm up in the tree stand or whatever. But that night, we're sitting around the campfire, and Shane says, well, I'm going to put you in the field tomorrow because the field, you're guaranteed. It's like, you see my guarantee, nothing. But he says, I'm going to put you in the field. I said, well, maybe I should just take my pistol, and if there's wild hogs running around, I said, maybe I can shoot me a wild hog. And so Breck, my 8-year-old grandson, who is a deer hunter and actually has trophies, he leaves. I didn't think anything about it. Well, he comes up with my pistol in a holster, and everybody around the campfire went ballistic. Everybody went ballistic. We acted on his actions. That is, don't ever do that. And he knows gun safety. He knows all this stuff. It's like, don't touch a gun. Even though it was in a holster, even though it wasn't cocked, there, my magazine was in. It's like, man, this is how accidents happen. We started doing that, but that was not his heart. I mean, he sat there and cried, and he should have, right? Because he lost the privilege to go hunting the next day and everything. But the point is, like, his heart was like, hey, I thought you wanted your pistol to shoot pigs. And it's like, you know, first off, it's 9 o'clock at night, feels like midnight. You know, we're sitting around a campfire. I'm not going to shoot anything at night. And why did you go and get the gun? And so, anyway, we react to actions. Jesus always reacted to the heart. The woman caught in adultery, and they bring her in front of Jesus, and they said, you know, the law says stone her. And he's just writing in the sand. I wish I could see what he wrote in the sand. We don't know what he wrote in the sand. I bet you he was writing down other people's sins that were in the crowd. You know, that would be pretty cool. Like, Bubba, I know you ain't throwing no stones, you know, but I don't know. But he looks at her after he tells them, you know, just whoever doesn't sin, cast the first stone. And they all just drop their rocks and walk away. And he looks at her and says, who condemns you? And she looks around and says, nobody. And he goes, I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. In other words, he went to the heart. I mean, here was a lady that was obviously having sex outside of the marriage. You know, what she was doing was wrong. I wonder where the guy was in all of this. If they caught her, they had to catch somebody else, but he got away. He was probably standing in the back with the rock. Or maybe Jesus was writing his name down. You know, go get Bubba or whatever. But the idea is, deal with the heart. You know, there are so many people out there that don't know Jesus, and we judge them like they should know Jesus. I can't believe you're doing that. Well, why can't you believe they're doing that? If we didn't know Jesus, we'd be doing the same thing. Think about our former lives before the Spirit got a hold of us and changed us. React to the heart. This is what it says in Samuel. It says this, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. He knows our minds. He knows our heart, why we want to do this, why we don't want to do this. Jesus focused always on the heart. Pharisees, the hypocrites, they focused on the behavior. They reacted. In fact, Jesus told them, said, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're like a cup that looks all gold and beautiful on the outside, and inside it is just rotten. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Our biggest mistake often is focusing on outward appearances only. Outward submission, but inward there's this rebellion going on, you know? Even our apologies are tainted oftentimes. I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, you big baby, you know? You know, it's just, why do we do the things that we do? It's because we're human. Right actions will come from a right heart. The third thing, and my last point, is we have to pursue. This is active. We have to pursue perfect purity of the heart. You know, people say practice makes perfect. No, 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 no. Perfect practice makes perfect. I mean, if you're practicing wrong, it's going to stink. I'm just going to tell you. Perfect practice makes perfect. And anything less than perfect purity equals impurity. My last gross example for you guys. I know y'all were waiting, okay, what Paul was going to really get into it. Well, here it is. You're making a batch of cookies, okay? And you got the little chocolate chip morsels, and you're putting them in, eating a couple. You get down to the last couple cookies or whatever, and you realize you've eaten all the morsels. So you look around thinking, like, what am I going to do? And you see the cat litter box. And you go over there, and you get the litter box, and you just use a little bit. No, just a little bit. Who's going to eat those cookies? Nobody. A little bit ruins everything. A little bit of sin in our life is going to ruin your testimony. A little bit of judging is going to ruin your witness to somebody. It doesn't matter if it's big or if it's little. The amount doesn't matter. It is still impurity. It's still impure. You wouldn't eat the chocolate. I wouldn't. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Paul says this in Ephesians, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. We have been set apart. We have been ordained. We have been given a new life. We have been given a commandment to go into the world to preach, to teach, to baptize, to do all these things, and we can't do that if we are not pure in heart. Ezekiel, and I quote this a lot, he says this in chapter 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And you remember the first time Jesus got a hold of us and that wall around our heart just dropped. The skepticism went away. Oh, there's still times where we scratch our head and go, you know, God, are you there? Are you listening? There's sometimes we may even doubt our faith sometimes, but the Spirit inside of us gives us the strength to keep moving on. You cannot be pure of heart by just wishing it. You have to pursue it. And so I'll close with Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity just to come into your house, to lift you up in songs of worship and praise. Father, to call out to you on behalf and stand in the gap for people that are hurting, people that are alone, people that are going through things in their life. And Father, we thank you for that. But Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ, with his death and resurrection. Father, I pray, Father, that we would pursue holiness, righteousness. Father, that we would have pure hearts, pure minds, that we would be more Christ-like in our daily walk. And Father, I pray that there would be revival first in our own lives, and then in our homes, in our churches, and then across this nation. Father, we are sick at what's going on in our culture today. Father, I just pray that there would be a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, that lives would be changed. And Father, I pray that it would begin with each of us from the inside out. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.